Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to the Healing Light Show, and today we're going to be interviewing Shane Stephen, Evangelist Shane Stephen. He's going to be giving his testimony, talking about how the Lord's changed his life and got him walking in the power of God. He's seeing healings and seeing God transforming people all the time through him, and just getting a great connection with the Holy Spirit and with the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to welcome Shane. How you doing, Shane?
Stan, thank you. I'm doing excellent. Thank you.
It's going to be an awesome day in the Lord. And Shane, let people know a little bit about your testimony.
Okay. My testimony is a little different than most. I couldn't really describe my life now any more than or any less than incredible. Now that I've been walking in power and seeing miracles every day, it's just fun. Everywhere I go, I see the most amazing thing. So I wanted to start, I guess, my story with when I grew up, I was a pastor's kid. I was in a Christian home. I had an amazing set of parents that taught me everything that I needed to know about God. And I actually went to Bible school, went to Bible college in Lakeland, Florida. And I was the black sheep. There was three sons in the family. I was the middle one. And my mom, as she raised us, would always try to answer our questions for us. And so we would ask her hard questions, ones that there really weren't answers to. And she would always end with, "Boys, I guess you just have to have faith." My older brother, he said, "Okay, Mom, I have it." And my little brother just went along with whatever the older brothers were doing. So he went along with it. He became a missionary. My older brother is a senior pastor. He's been a pastor for 20 years in Columbus, Ohio. His church runs around 700 people, and he's in the Assemblies of God. And so when he went to Bible school, I went 1 year to Bible college and said, "You know what? This isn't for me. I haven't seen enough to convince me that that God is who they say he is." So I actually joined the military and went off to boot camp to become an Army Ranger. So,
man,
as an Army Ranger, you must know what kind of people these are. They're ruthless. They're ruthless killers trained by the U.S. military to go and hunt down the most ruthless terrorist and bring them in strung up. So anyway, you can imagine how far I went. You know, I became one of these people, and I went my own way in life. I lost my way. I was distracted by the world, you know, and I've realized lately it's set up that way to distract you and take you away from the truth of who your creator is and what purpose that you have on this earth. So,
amen.
I was so far gone. I never thought I would ever come back to the Lord until one day he put this amazing woman in my life, a born again Christian who loved Jesus, prayer warrior. And I married her, and she saw my potential because she knew what my past was. So she drug me to church, and I hadn't gone to church in years. I mean, 10 years. And I would just sit there. I would squirm around in the pew. Something was wrong with me, and I couldn't sit there and worship God. So that's when I first started to learn about spiritual battles. Didn't really know much at this point, but I knew that if I sat in that church Sunday after Sunday, eventually I would return back to who I was before. And so that was my goal. So everything was going okay until one day my wife's little sister, by little, I mean, she's just younger than her. She's 30 years old. She's a school teacher for fourth grade kids. And she was diagnosed with schizophrenia. And she could hear the voices in her head talking to each other. They would talk to her. They would tell her that they wanted to kill her. They would talk to each other about how they were going to kill her. But she was born and raised as a Christian too. So she just thought she was crazy. And I knew better, because growing up in church, there's only been a couple of times when I actually saw a deliverance done and saw someone get set free. So the whole family, they were freaking out. Nobody wanted to talk to anyone about this. They were kind of shunning her, you know, didn't want to mention it to her. And I said, "You know what? I think I'm the only one that's brave enough to actually take her to a place and seek deliverance for her," because I knew it existed. And I had really no experience with it at that point. And I thought really that if I took her somewhere, it would be more like you would sit down and have some counseling with a deliverance minister. And this is the day that my whole life flipped upside down. And
amen.
I began a new path. So I looked up a place in the phone book in Lakeland, Florida. They do deliverance each day of the week, and I set up an appointment. I bring my sister-in-law into the place. We sat down with the deliverance minister, which is a really nice little lady named Diane. So I'm thinking, "Oh, this must be harmless." So we sit down, and this is when it got crazy for me. And so she agreed to allow the deliverance minister to pray for her and cast spirits out of her. So her will was allowing this, and I'm sitting about 3 feet away from my sister-in-law, and the deliverance minister's there beside us. We're all really close, sitting in three chairs, and she commanded all demon powers associated with Jessica to come forward and explain what legal rights you have. So I was like, that was kind of a crazy question as I'm sitting there listening. And Jessica said, you know, am I supposed to feel something or am I supposed to hear something? And the lady said, just relax for a second. Just wait. It went on for about 2 uncomfortable minutes. And then Jessica, it looked like she just fainted. She blacks out in the chair and slumps forward. All of a sudden, she snaps back up and it's not her anymore. And there was a demon. And it came up and said, I don't have to talk to you.
Man.
My heart started beating. It almost jumped out of my chest.
Yeah,
and
Shane.
It freaked me out. Go ahead.
That's awesome. Getting back to the very beginning, okay. when you left your parents and you went to the Army Rangers, where was your mind with Christ? It was just completely on the world, or where was it at that time?
At that point, I've always been one of those people that needs physical evidence. I needed proof. And my mom, she wanted us all to be preachers, all to be ministers and go into the ministry.
Amen.
So she promised us that if we would go to Bible school, she would pay for it. So I went 1 year to Bible school and I realized that it's not for me, you know, and my brother, he went all 4 years, became a pastor. So I just went my own way. I didn't really, I guess I would say I didn't really believe. But
Amen.
It's all different now.
That's unique, because one of the reasons why, you know, Jesus empowered us with the Holy Spirit is to show signs and wonders. And Jesus actually had to show the signs and wonders to get the Jewish people to see that he was the Christ. And that was one of the main things, because they was kind of like that too. They had to see a physical, you know, a physical thing for them to believe that he was the Christ. And that's one unique thing that the Christian, you know, us Christians have, is that the power of God's supposed to move through us. The Holy Spirit's supposed to live with the inside of us and work through us. And that's one of the things of the Christian walk that some people just don't, you know, they don't really push that these days. They don't really show that these days. And that's one reason I really think, you know, the Lord has really opened this back up in church, trying to get people out praying for the sick and seeing God move through them like they never have before. And this is just like another story proving that, you know, hey, people need to see Christ working through his people. You know, not only that, they, you know, people actually need to see his people acting like Christ. That's another big thing. But it's always unique to see, you know, in every preacher's family, there's always that one black sheep that the Lord, you know, they walk away from the Lord, but sooner or later, the Lord really turns the guy's heart and he really does brings a big harvest for the family. But that's a great story, Shane. That's awesome how he brought you back. Now, getting back to the deliverance part in your story. Now, has your sister-in-law had a history with this, things going on?
Ever since she was a small child, she could hear. It was kind of like she was, I guess, blessed with a gift of clairaudience, where she could hear spirits. She couldn't see anything. She could just hear them. And she could hear them talking, just like we're talking now. They talk to each other, and she could hear it. So she didn't get diagnosed with schizophrenia until she was about 30, when all this went down. But her whole life, she could hear them. And so she thought she was crazy. So we sat there. This first spirit came up and looked around the room, and it was like a wild animal in the room, sniffing and huffing and puffing. And it looks at this deliverance lady and says, I don't have to talk to you. And so the lady grabs her Bible. And this is the first time I really started to respect the Bible, and that it really truly is the sword of the spirit in the spirit realm. She picked it off the table and she goes, this sword of the spirit will make you talk. And she touches Jessica on the rib cage on the side, and it looked like she had just ran a sword through this demon, and it screamed just like it was getting stabbed. And so I'm watching all this, and it's completely blowing my mind. And as she pulled the Bible away, it was like the sword was pulled out and this thing was ready to talk, right? So this demon's looking around the room, and it's ready to spill all the information. So the lady said, how long have you been in this vessel? And it said, 17 generations. And what legal right do you have? And it said, blood sacrifice. It said, human or animal? And it said, They sacrificed a chicken to me for food because 17 generations ago there was famine in the land and everyone was starving. So on and on and on, I heard these demons come up. This went on for 3 hours. And we spoke to 10 demons that day. 7 of them got cast out, and the others we didn't have time for. We ran out of time. But the most amazing thing that I saw in this experience was that Jesus himself showed up. And the lady was dealing with the demon. It wouldn't cooperate and participate and answer questions, and it was throwing demonic hand signs at us. So finally the lady got fed up with it. So the deliverance minister said, "Jesus, please come." And as soon as she finished that word, all of a sudden, this demon that was manifesting in my sister looks up and sees Jesus. And I've never seen a fear on someone's face like I saw at that moment. And that demon points up towards the ceiling right past the front of me and takes her feet off the floor like she couldn't stand on the same floor. And points and said in a really crazy sly way, "We know you. You are the special one. You are the Son of God." And at that minute, I realized that Jesus is standing in this room, and I can't see him. I can't hear him, you know, because he's in the spirit. But this demon that was manifesting could see him. And as Jesus started to walk towards her, it started to freak out, trying to get out of the chair, but it was stuck in the chair, and said, "He's coming. He's coming. He's right here," and points right at my feet where her feet were. And all of a sudden it was as if Jesus would have wrapped his arms around her, and all these demons come flying out of her all at once, just with a long breath, one after the next, after the next, after the next. And as I realized Jesus is in the room with me, I just start crying. I mean, uncontrollable crying. I have my hands in the air worshiping Jesus. And this went on for like maybe a minute. And then all of a sudden complete peace came over the room, and Jessica starts crying like a baby. Like an infant, not like an adult would cry. And she starts saying, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy," like it's her father. It was really moving of an experience. And then all of a sudden, Jessica came back to herself, and she's looking around, wondering what just happened.
Amen.
At that time when Jesus walked by me, I felt like I've done nothing to deserve him, right? Like he didn't even know me. I just happened to be in the room that he came and helped out. It was amazing.
Amen. Amen. One thing I'd like to ask you, did your sister-in-law know anything about this information that she was saying?
So the way that she described it was, it's like your spirit and yourself, your consciousness is being pushed down inside of yourself into a dark room where you don't feel safe, but you can hear your own mouth talking with these demons' words. You can hear everything that's going on in the room, the whole conversation. You just can't participate.
So it was something that, you know, a lot of information there that she couldn't just come up with, or something, some history she's learned or something like that. It was actually something that was coming through her mouth that she had no idea of.
Right. But one of the cool things about this is it was sort of like, for me, it was kind of like, how would I describe it? I got to spend time with her for a few months before I got to bring her there for deliverance. And so she used to tell me, it was kind of like a science experiment for me. I'm like, "What are they saying to you? What are they doing?" You know? And so I knew what all their names were. I knew what their, you know, what they talked about and everything. And it was kind of like a pack of dogs that were fighting for the lead position inside of her. And so I knew what all their names were. I wrote down all their names. And so I was the only one that would talk to her about stuff like this. And I said, "What are they doing now?" And she would tell me. So when I started learning about my identity and how to deal with this sort of thing, I would pray for her and I would command these things, and then they would answer me to her. She would hear them answer me. So I got to experience all that. So when she finally was set free, a good friend of ours named John George, he actually came and met me at her house. And so all these demons that I knew the names of them, I was telling John George which ones they were, and he was calling them up by name, and they would come up. they would speak their name and he would cast them out. So I got to see them all leave.
Amen.
And now it's been about a year and she has no issues anymore. Schizophrenia doesn't exist. It's just demonization, because now her mind is quiet. She lives in peace. She sleeps peacefully. She's free.
Amen. Amen. That sounds like the story of John G. Lake when he was pulled out of his body and took him to a insane asylum in England. And he actually went there in spirit and casted some demons out of a lady that was actually chained to a bed. And after the Lord put him back into his body, she actually picked up the phone and called and said that the insane asylum let her free because they could find nothing else wrong with her. So when she got delivered, completely delivered from these demons, she was healed. It was all gone. And we can just think about all these hospitals full of all these people, you know, that has these problems, and it could be possession, you know, things going on with them that, you know, the Lord could heal. It's just people just won't do that. And it's just awesome to know how the Lord heals people in that way. And I really think this really, you know, pushes people, let people know that this is real. And there is some guys that do, you know, mess with people and ain't really feel the Holy Spirit and really tries to manipulate people. But then there's real deals like we're talking here where people really get free and really get transformed. I mean, I've heard stories where people has had a bad experience with people that ain't really doing this, and it pushes them away from getting freedom from real people. And I just like to tell people on this show, you know, it's real. The Lord Jesus did cast demons out of people, and his people can cast demons out of people. And there is always a chance, and there's always a thing saying that you can get free. You can get free from these things. And just don't push this deliverance ministry aside, because the Lord can give you freedom and can free you from your problems. And one of the biggest things that we always hear, Christians can't get demons. And that's one thing that, you know, a lot of us see in the deliverance ministry, that they can. You can get oppressed by demons. They can control your mind. They can do this and that, and you can get free from that. A lot of reasons that we see this is because people don't know who they are in Christ. They get controlled, manipulated, and then before you know it, there's demonic strongholds and stuff going on there. And we've had, you know, some ministers that actually don't teach about this, and it puts people, I really believe it puts people in bondage and keeps them locked up. And I really believe that everybody should be open to this and be open to all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, not just one or two or three, but open to all of them, and how God uses, you know, different individuals in different things. And I do believe, you know, that the body of Christ does have all the gifts. They're inside of them. But I really believe that some walks in a specific office that they're better at one than all the rest of them that they really focus on. So this is just one of them. And it's amazing to hear that your sister-in-law got freed. I mean, that's awesome. Amen to that, brother. Now,
amen.
Tell me when you started changing, when the Lord really started working on you.
Okay. Well, I started learning everything I could about deliverance and all this. And it took me kind of down a really strange, dark road, and it was all because I was trying to help my sister-in-law. So I stumbled upon one of the most amazing things, and that when people get delivered, their diseases leave. And I was like, wow, this is, people are healed when they go in through deliverance. And then I started to research a lot about it and learn a lot about healing. And I realized that a lot of times you'll pray for somebody to heal them, and a spirit will come up and say no. It'll try to stop you, and so then you cast the spirit out, and they get healed. Or they get healed, and the spirit leaves, so it kind of runs hand in hand. So my wife, you know, she didn't know a lot about deliverance and the spirits and all this kingdom of darkness stuff. So it would kind of weird her out and kind of scare her a little bit. So she made a rule, after 9 p.m., no talking about demons, you know. So anyway, she's like, you know, if you could choose, why don't you just start learning more about healing and less about deliverance? Because healing is pure, and it's, you know, people getting healed from diseases. And I said, you know what, I will. So I started researching more about healing and realized that they run hand in hand. They are very similar, and you can't learn one without the other and be a real big threat to the kingdom of darkness. And so I started learning about healing, and I was watching some videos on YouTube, and that's when I ran into some of the Pete Cabrera videos. And most people know him. He's got the Royal Family School of Identity out in Kansas. And so I probably watched – I wasn't convinced. At first, you know, I had a skeptical mind, and I thought, he's paying all these people to act like they're getting healed. But I became convinced by watching the people that were getting healed. And so one of his videos talked about a class he provided where if you fly out to Kansas, I'll teach you who you are. You spend a week with me, and then I'll show you how to walk like a son, and we'll go out and lay hands on the sick. So I took him up on it. I flew out to Kansas and spent a week with him, and my whole life changed as soon as I realized and was taught who I was by somebody who knows who he is and could show you how to walk it. And so we took there was 3 days of classes, pretty long classes, and you're just soaking up everything he's reading. And he's reading the Bible differently than most people, where he's taking every word literally. If the Bible says this, if Jesus himself says this, then that is true. I'm not just going to tell you this. I'm going to prove it to you. So on the fourth day, we jumped in his van, and we drove to the nearest place with people. We just wanted to find a public place that was crowded where there's people that were hurting. We can find people to pray for. And Stan, we found 9 people to pray for, and I watched 9 miracles. I didn't just watch. I prayed for 2 of them. Pete would walk up to someone and say, "Sir, your cane." And they would say, "Oh, yeah, I've got a bad knee." And then so Pete would spin around and just point into the crowd of us. There was 10 of us. This guy right here, his name is Shane Stevens. He travels the world in Jesus' name, laying hands on the sick, and God heals him. Can he pray for you? You know, and we're all nervous. We're just students learning all this. Sure, he can pray for me. And I put my hand on a knee and watched it get healed. I saw legs grow out. I saw needles dissolve in people's backs. It was mind-blowing. So at this point, I've seen 9 miracles, and I fly back home to Florida. My parents are visiting. So they were visiting on the same day I got back. My mom has a pinched nerve in her back for years. So I said, "Great, somebody I can practice on." So I said, "Mom, sit in this lawn chair. Let me see your feet." So I bring her feet out. One leg was longer than the other, and I commanded that nerve to be released and that leg to come out. And so my father, who's been a preacher for 40 years, saw one of the first miracles in his whole life. He watched her leg grow out. Blew our minds. Pinched nerve healed. So he invites me to his church, and he said he wants me to pray for people at his church. So I had never spoke in front of a crowd before, so he interviewed me sitting on the stage. I told him what I saw, what the truth was, what the reality is. We lined all the people up in his church, and we saw 12 miracles within 1 hour.
Amen. I mean,
people that can't walk, walking, pain, gone. I mean, one lady walks up to me. She's got clinical depression for 10 years. I took her by her hands, and I just told depression to go. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I went right to the next person. So it literally took like 15 seconds. She's been healed now for about a year and a half to 2 years.
Amen.
I had another lady walk up to me with arthritis in her hands. And I just told arthritis to go. Next person, please. I was just commanding them. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just telling all these things what I wanted them to do. And go. You know. So 12 miracles in a row at his church, and they've never seen the miracle in that church before. It was mind-blowing. So
Amen.
I explained to my father who he is and how God sees him, because that's the most important thing, is your relationship with Jesus and to know how he sees you, so you'll see yourself that way. So I explained it to my father, and it changed everything for him. My brother, who's a minister for 20 years, he's never prayed for anyone and saw a miracle. So on the phone with him, I spent 2 hours explaining him what I saw and who he is and how God sees him, and now he's walking in power too.
I really believe, I mean, I heard a evangelist say this one time, you know, they say that, you know, the Holy Spirit is around everybody and it's all in all these churches and this and that. But he says it takes one person that's stirred up to walk in there to see miracles. But there's been years and they've never saw a miracle in the church. There's some churches that have been around for 100 years and never saw one miracle. But there takes one guy that's been activated in the Holy Spirit and has the Holy Spirit stirred up and is filled with the Holy Spirit, and you start seeing people get healed like it did back in the day of Acts. And it just takes that. And I really believe that the Lord really wants the old church to come back. The same church that he started in the book of Acts, the same church that the disciples started in the book of Acts. I really believe he wants that to bring the glory to this earth, because I really believe that that's what's going to take. The generation now wants to see the real thing. They don't want to, you know, see fancy talking and have some explanations for things. I really believe that they want to see the real Jesus in the people. They want to see what Jesus can do. I really believe that is how you're going to bring this generation back to church. And it's different now. I mean, the newer generations, they're more visual people. They've got to be proven what you got to preach. They've got to be showed what you got to preach. You know, we've got some folks, you know, you have some that get saved here and there, but some of them's like, show me Jesus. And you can't show me Jesus, they're not going to come to your church. They're not going to come to the Savior. And that's just how the Israelites were. Jesus had to show himself to his people to show who he was. But there were some Pharisees that wouldn't believe anyway, because they didn't want him to be the Christ, even though that he was anyway. So that's one thing that I see that the day now is doing. We've got to show Jesus. And I've actually been, you know, had a lot of friends that, like you're doing, praying on the street and stuff, and they do this. And then, you know, they slow down a little bit and they're trying to figure out why. It's because, you know, once you start doing this, you're doing like Shane here. You're going on the street, praying for the sick, you know, doing all these things and showing Jesus. I really believe we all need to keep doing that. I really believe that the churches that don't have this in their church, they need to invite people like Shane, like us, like whoever is out praying for the sick, to come into your church, to activate your church, to get you going. And to have everybody in the church. I really believe every church needs a prayer room. They need a healing room there. They actually need a healing service in each church, because back in the day of Acts, all the churches had this. I mean, when they first started a church, there was so much, you know, things of the Holy Spirit going on that they had to put order in there, because everybody was moving in the power of God. They needed order. So, you know, Paul had to put some order in the church. But nowadays, there's nothing to put in order. It's just, you know, sit down, listen to a sermon and sleep, or get up and praise and sit back down, go home and, you know, eat your fried chicken and then go about your everyday life. But Jesus is our Lord that's supposed to change our life once and for all, not just once every Sunday and then go back to the bars and go back to your way of life. It's to be changed. It's an everyday relationship. And Shane, I want you to tell people about your everyday relationship with the Lord Jesus now.
Well, what I've learned is it's all about your relationship. It's all about it. It's about your relationship with Jesus. And every day now, I renew my mind. And if I can give anybody just a couple pointers to get to where I am now, you would do anything to get here. It's so amazing. It's so much fun. There's no fear anymore. Whenever God starts healing everyone, it's just fun. It's not worry about getting turned down or somebody, you know, telling you to take a hike, because he's starting to heal everyone. And I mean, I've seen such crazy miracles. It's just fun. So when I wake up in the morning, the first thoughts in my mind when my feet hit the floor is, hello, Jesus. I worship you, you're my king, and I put you first. And I'm showing him, and I'm not just telling him, but the first thoughts of my mind are that. And then I say, Holy Spirit, I can't wait to see what you have for me today, right? So then I'll go take a shower or whatever, get ready. And then I have the second pointer that I would like to give is to renew your mind with affirmations. So this is one of the things I learned at the New Identity School. Is you can put a bunch of things on paper, or I have a note saved in my phone with truth, biblical truth about who I am, who Jesus is, what Jesus thinks of me, what he says I am, you know, where I'm at. I'm seated with him in heavenly places. And all of a sudden your mind begins to believe the truth, and the Holy Spirit, you come into agreement with him. So pretty much I would say when I wake up every morning, I'm in my carnal mind, functioning out of it. Once I renew my mind, I to the point now where I can read only just a few sentences into my affirmations, and I feel a change come over me.
And amen.
I'm focusing on things that are in heaven and less the things that are on earth. And then I jump in my truck and I'll drive to work or wherever you're going, and I'm listening to praise and worship. That's my time I spend with God, because it's the best time. It's quiet time for me in my vehicle. So by the time I get anywhere, I have Holy Spirit just oozing out of me, the love of God, just wanting to touch someone. I've got to give it to someone. It's just too much. And I'll see the Amen. First person with a cane or limping or in a wheelchair, and I'll walk straight over to him and say, you know, do you have any pain in your body? Because God wants to heal you right now. It's that kind of a boldness, because you feel the Holy Spirit on you. You know he's going to heal someone. And it's just incredible. I have so much fun. It's like waking up from a dream when you realize that, you know, you've been dreaming, but you actually have superpowers. You've got the power of the Holy Spirit within you, and he is the answer to everyone's problem.
Amen. Amen. I know there's one thing that people say is, you know, you're just walking in power and, you know, you're not really, you know, doing this with the Lord and you're that. One thing that I could say about that is, you know, a relationship is what changes you and changes what the Holy Spirit does in you. And I really feel that there's a healthy balance in all of that. And, you know, identity is very important. A lot of people say, you know, some people so far in identity of that. But I really believe that everybody needs to learn a form of identity, who they are in Christ, because me, myself, I've saw people so far out of their identity, so far out of the new covenant that Jesus Christ brought to earth, that they don't know how to function. They're depressed, they're down, and they're not seeing a whole lot of God in their lives. The identity really brings, you know, you back to the new covenant, shows you what Jesus brought, you know, poured here on earth, show you what Jesus did for you. And it's very important to know your identity and know who you are in Christ, and you'll have the same type of results that Shane's talking here, because that's the only way you learn about, you know, the Holy Spirit and how he works. And we're going to have Dustin Tyler on, you know, Friday, and he's going to talk more in how walking in the Holy Spirit teaches you the Word of God. It teaches you what the Word of God means, because you're walking like the disciples. You're seeing the things that the disciples did. And there's no other way to learn this except for doing what they're doing. And if you've never walked like the disciples before, you'll never understand it. It's just like, you know, you go on a fishing trip, and you know how fishermen use all different type of baits and stuff for different fish. If you've never did this before, you would never learn how to catch the largemouth bass or the catfish or however, whatever you're trying to catch, because you've never had experience in that. And once you experience that and you watch a Bass Pro show, you understand exactly what they're doing, why they're doing it, and how they're doing that. So when you actually, you know, ride out this walk with Christ and you do what the disciples did, do what Jesus showed you to do, you start understanding things. It's like a door opens up to you, how the Lord is, how he deals with people, his love for you. All this stuff is revealed to you. And it's just awesome what the Lord can do. Now, Shane, now what's the difference between your life now and then before you really got opened up to the Lord?
I am 110% sold out to Jesus. I have turned in and surrendered everything in my life that was worldly, everything. And when you begin to do that and start to follow Jesus and you seek him, you become so different in every place in your life. My thoughts are different. It's the way that I carry myself, the places that I go, everything that I do is for Jesus now. You know,
amen.
I'm kind of that, the weird guy who doesn't get invited to barbecues much anymore because everyone's going to get healed while I'm there. You know.
Awesome. That's awesome, man. We're going to go for a break right quick. We're going to listen to a song, and we'll be right back.
break of day, you stole my heart away. Now I belong to you forever. You danced and shouted over me. You love the raging sea. Now I am lost in you forever. You're washing over me. You're washing over me. You're my one and only, the King of glory. It's you I desire here. You're my one and only, the King of glory. It's you I desire here. Surrendered is where my heart will be. Your words are life to me. Now I will trust in you forever. I'm caught in the power of your gaze. Your love has brought me grace. Now I will walk with you forever. You're washing over me. You're washing over me. You're my
back to the Healing Light Show, and we're interviewing evangelist Shane Stevens, and we've been talking about his testimony and how the Holy Spirit's been working in him and changing lives and changing his life. We're actually talking about changing his life. And at this time, we're going to invite, we got some of his friends that's called in, his wife's called in, and we're going to just ask him, you know, just different stories, you know, how they've saw some change in him. And we've got Dale that just came back from the Identity School. And he's going to be talking about how the Lord's been changing him and how identity has changed him a little bit. So we're going to go ahead and bring Ruth, Shane's wife. How you doing, Ruth?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Okay. Now, Ruth, how was Shane before this? Was he a little bit different?
Absolutely. He was very, very different than he is now. Like he said previously, he's given 120% to Jesus. Everything is about God. Prior to this experience, not so much. When I took him to church, he was actually very, very nervous, didn't want to be there, felt very uncomfortable, wasn't praying, wasn't singing. So now he's the one screaming, singing, and worshiping. So it's a total different guy.
Amen, amen. And I mean, I even know that in my own relationship with the Lord before the Holy Spirit really fell on me, I would be like my old Lutheran self when I was back in my Lutheran church. I stood up and sat down and maybe took a nap between the sermons and stood up and sat down. But when the Holy Spirit hit me back a couple years ago, I was up worshiping and getting into the music and really feeling the Lord on what's going on in the service. And that's how you can't even worship the Lord without the Holy Spirit. It's impossible.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why you see these churches. They're dry bone churches, and you've got to have the Spirit of God where you can even have a relationship with the Lord. So that's one of the biggest things. But Ruth, you've always had a relationship with the Lord, ain't you?
Yes. I've always had a relationship with the Lord, but I did myself set myself apart from God for a little bit. I was young and rebelled, but I did go back to church and I prayed desperately to find someone that was a spiritual individual who can guide me and my son and you know, my future children, and God gave me Shane, and it has been completely amazing.
That's awesome. I'm pretty sure that the Lord knew what Shane was going to be and had plans for him, and I really believe that you was one of the plans to help take him where he needed to be to show him in the right direction. But it's been awesome to have you on here tonight, Ruth, and thank you again for coming on here.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
God bless you.
God bless you too.
Do now. We've got Dale here, and he went to the Identity School, and we're just going to talk to Dale. Hey, Dale, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good, thank you.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Amen. You just got back from the Identity School, ain't you?
About 3 weeks ago. Yeah.
Okay.
It was a really life changing experience.
Okay. What really led you to that to that school?
Well, when Shane talked about he came to, I go to his father's church. His father was mentoring me. I'm a pastor with the Assemblies of God, and his dad was mentoring me at the time. And
Shane came to church, the healing service, and during the service, he says, "For you to walk in what I've just learned to walk in, you have to know who you are in Christ." And it really just bothered me, he said that, and I was really kind of angry at him. But the whole time after that, I watched people being healed. My grandmother was healed during that service. My wife was delivered from things, or, you know, was healed from things that service. And so I did my own research on it. And then he came back the second time, and I seen more people getting healed, and he started introducing me to watch different videos like Tom Loud and Pete Cabrera Jr. and even Curry Blake. And I started really doing my research on it and trying to walk in it. And he would encourage me, and Shane and I built a friendship through it. And he was trying to help me understand the whole thing. And one night he was praying for my wife, and he told my wife was healed over the phone. And he told her, he goes, "You need to send Dale to the school because it's life changing. And you're going to see him walking in a different light once he comes back." So she came downstairs and says, "You have to go." So we signed up for it, and I went.
Amen, amen. Now, what in that school really touched you about the Lord to really start making a change in you?
I'll give you a little bit of my background first real quick, is that I grew up in the church. My grandpa was a Pentecostal pastor, and in fact, he used to preach with Shane's grandpa. We never really knew that until I was being mentored by his dad, but I always seen a lot of this stuff, and not seeing it as much as I am now, but I always wanted to walk in it. I always wanted to see more of the Holy Spirit, and just seemed like it was never there. And so, I don't know, I think I grew up or we're in a church area where it's really conservative and your worship's conservative. You kind of have things that are just, we had God boxed in. He can come out and move, but it's in the way we want him to move. And the first two days I was down there, I was really struggling because everybody else was so free. They were loving and free and praying for one another and speaking words of encouragement over one another. And I was just, I felt nothing. And God woke me up and about three times one night and just kept on waking me up. So I finally said, okay, I'm going to stay up. And I started walking around the block, and I didn't get but one house away from Pete's. And I started bawling my eyes out, and I cried all morning long. And I texted my wife and said, I'm coming home. I can't handle this anymore. And like I said, I'm different than these people. And then she had Shane call me, and Shane goes, just stick it out. He goes, you'll be fine. He goes, just let the Holy Spirit work on you. And I really didn't put two and two together, but now I know at that time what was going on is that, it was like a Jacob experience where I was wrestling with God, and he was trying to change me, and he's wanting to do a new thing in me, and I was wrestling with him. We went through the whole class period. I bawled all day long, and I was arguing with some of the guys about some of the things I was seeing. And we walked back into Pete's house, and they were praying, beginning to pray for somebody. And a gentleman from Australia was leading the prayer, and he comes stumbling back into me, slain in the spirit. And as he falls into me, the spirit hits me. They start praying for me and stuff, and they said, well, you just need to release what you're holding on to. God wants to give you more if you just release everything and give everything to him. Are you willing to do that? And I said, yeah. The minute that happened, I felt like a whole new person. It's just like I felt the love of God. I felt what it really meant.
Amen.
To love people. So that was a turning point for me.
Amen. That's an awesome testimony, Dale. I'd like to talk to you more about that sometime in the future. But thanks for coming on the show and telling your testimony.
Okay. Yeah, you're welcome.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Yes, yeah, awesome there. I actually went too, and I went there for a week. I think it was a couple years ago. And I actually went to the Identity School because I had a lot of deaths in my family. I lost two grandfathers within the same year, and I had a lot of stuff going on. And, you want to go to some of these, church events and Christian events to help, prep you up to get you ready for the next year or help you get out of things, And when I went there to learn. I've already knew about some identity. I've heard the tale and read the Bible and had people teach me this stuff, but I wanted one-on-one, contact with these people and really hear what they're teaching and all that stuff. And it was really interesting. And the first day I didn't really get a whole lot. The second day, in teaching. Now, the very first day you get there to this house, well, at the time they had a ministry house, I actually got there. And when I got there, we had to get ready and all that stuff and get our places to stay. And the second day is when we went through teaching. We went to his church and he would teach us. Now, the second day of the teaching is when the Holy Spirit touched me. We actually just got back from the church. We ate our meal and we got back to the house. And at that time, the Holy Spirit landed on me. I mean, the Holy Spirit was already on me, but it was like a supernatural peace came over my mind. A supernatural peace came over my body. And I had a part where actually there's a dollar store right down the road from this ministry house that they was using at that time. And I think it's Pete Cabrero's sister and brother-in-law's house that they was using at that time. And I just walked down there with this piece. It was like a tremendous amount of peace. And I had to just walk away for a while. I had to get away from everybody and everything because I wanted to enjoy what the Lord was doing to me, what he was changing my mind and doing things. And there was no hands laid on me. Nobody laid hands on me. It was just during the class, it just came over me. It's like the Lord just gave me something that I needed at that time. And that was one unique experience that we had. And we had one more unique experience when we went to the movie theater there. And I think it was a new Jesus movie that came out. And we went to that theater. And when we went to that theater, right after, I'm trying to think what the name was that, not Passion of the Christ, because that's years ago, but the other one where the soldier got to see Jesus and was trying to find Jesus, and he found Jesus, and then he didn't know what to do because the glory was so, you know, powerful, and he fell in love with Jesus, and he didn't want to have anything to hurt Jesus. He just wanted to follow Jesus. It was an awesome story. And but after that, Polly B stood up and said, "Hey, if anybody wants to know Jesus and wants to get healed, we got a group of guys here that's willing to show you." So that gave it kind of kicked us out to pray for people in the movie theater. And we stayed in the movie theater for about 30 minutes to an hour right after the movie, and we saw people get healed in the movie theater. And I had this one girl that had depression and stuff. Her mom's with us, or with her, and we all prayed. And we prayed over her. The Holy Spirit came upon us. She started crying, and the Holy Spirit was working on me. And I went to the bathroom and started weeping. It's just the love of God. It was so strong in that movie theater that day. It was awesome. And that will be a day that I'll never forget. I got pictures of it and all that. But I really believe everybody that goes there gets touched by the Lord in some sort of way. But that's awesome. We've got Shane's son here.
Nathan.
Nathan. Hey, Nathan, you here?
I think she's going to get him right now.
Okay. Okay. We'll go ahead and... hey, Nathan, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing pretty good. What you like to talk about today, Nathan?
Yeah, I would love to talk on this show.
Oh, that's awesome. How's Jesus touched you?
It's been crazy. I mean, like, I'll give you an example. So yesterday,
okay,
I had a crazy headache yesterday. My head had a bunch of pressure in it. I called Shane. He was at work. He prayed for me, right? And the headache went away. I went to soccer practice, all this stuff. But when he prayed for me, he said that he sent, like, he made, like, a Holy Spirit fireball, that's what he calls it, and he threw it at me. And he went like this. Like, he blew it at me. And right when he did that yesterday, I started crying. It was insane. I had never felt anything like it before. And that's really how God has touched me. And then, I mean, I want to grow in God, and I really think Shane can help me do that.
Amen, amen. I mean, I've heard from your dad there, your stepdad there, that, you know, you've been growing in the Lord, and God's been working on you. How have you saw the Lord change your dad?
Well, when I first met him, really, he wasn't like how he is now. I wasn't really like a spiritual guy. He was more like a worldly person, like a couple years ago, right? And then and then Jessica, his sister-in-law, right? How we talked about her on the show.
Mm-hmm.
With all that, and then he looked more into it, and he found the truth. He found the truth that Jesus can do really anything. I mean, heal people, deliver people. That's how he's changed.
Amen. That's awesome. Thanks for coming on here, Nathan, and telling your little testimony.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. God bless you. Yeah, it's awesome to hear all these stories, and we should have got Pete on here, man. But anyway, but it's, I mean, there's ministries that change people. And one thing that this ministry here does, it actually promotes all type of ministries. Anybody that walks in the power of God, it wants to share their gift, wants to talk about what God's doing through them. I've always been really excited to have people like that on here. And we actually go out ourselves and we teach people how to walk in the power of God. We pray for baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we take them out. And we explain, you know, there's some ministries that don't really explain what this walk is. They say, well, you know, anybody can walk in this, but they don't really explain what happens. And as you know, the 12 disciples, Jesus took them out for 3 years to teach them how to walk and talk, which, you know, how to do this and how the Holy Spirit works, and showed them how he works through him and all of this, because there was going to be one day that they was going to be doing the same thing that he was going to be doing. And then when he, before he rose back up to heaven to his Father, after he rose from the dead, he told them, you will be doing the same things as I've been doing, and even greater. That really left up the notch a little bit higher, even greater. So they had a lot on their back to fill the shoes of Jesus, because what he had to do, he had to go back to the Father to pour his Spirit amongst us, where we was able to do that. At one time, his Holy Spirit wasn't on the flesh yet. It wasn't there yet until he went to heaven and poured it out. So that was a very important thing in his life, I mean, in his being here, that he had to do, is do that. So what we do, when we come out to your church, to your meeting, what we do, we take you in the Word of God. We show you where it is in the Word of God that you're supposed to be like this, that you're supposed to walk in the power. We have to do is teach you a little bit of identity. We don't have an identity school like Pete and all that, but we do teach you a little bit of identity to let you understand who you are in Christ. That's very important in your walk. You have to learn that. And then we show you how God works through you and works through us. So, I mean, we pray for people. It ain't that we go up on stage and just talk and, you know, don't show anything. We're going to be there, you know, praying for you too. So what we do, we get everybody there. We show them what happens. We teach them a little bit of identity. And then we pray for you, and we expect you to go out in the streets and pray for people. What we do, we break everybody up in groups, and we go out for like lunch. And then we come back for testimony to see what the Lord has done through you. So it gives you a point where instead of just going out and eating suppers and not praying for anybody, you've got to give us testimonies. We got to see, and we send people out with groups to guide them, to lead them. Then we come back for testimonies, and then we come back for more teaching. So it's more of a boot camp for you to go out and lay hands on the sick, and for you to be activated and take this into your church and activate everybody in your church. So this is what it's all about. We, you know, our ministry has always been guided for activation. We've did one in South Carolina. We've did one here at Hickory. This is kind of what we do. And even on these shows we do, we talk about this stuff. So it's very unique. And one thing that I like to say about Shane Stevens here, he is going to be having the Healing Light Ministry chapter in Florida. So he's going to be there if anybody needs prayer, anybody needs anything from, you know, like that, deliverance, anything, you'll be able to get a hold of him. And if they come to me and you're in that area, I can get a hold of him and he can come to you, because our ministry is not just a televised ministry. We do have the Healing Light show on Roku. You can watch it anytime you want to there. We got many ministries, from Todd White to, you know, Pete Cabrero, Polly B. We got all these guys on here, even our own ministry. We got, you know, FBI Art. He's on there. There's a lot of people that works in the power of God and teaches you how to do this. You can watch this every day, and it will teach you. If you got a Roku TV, it's called the Healing Light Channel. It can teach you all about this. Everything we're teaching you here today, I've got over 13 channels and different ministries on here. It teaches you this stuff. It teaches you this. It puts you in your being, puts it in your being, and lets you know how to do this. But when you invite people out like us and, you know, a lot of these other ministries, we will take you out in the streets and show you what God will do. And one thing that we're really happy to have is Shane on board to be a director in Florida. And I want to thank him for coming on board.
And I'm very excited to be here. I can't wait to see what God has in store for us. But I just want everyone to know that my invitation is open. Anytime, just contact us, and we can set up a time. You can come to Florida. You just get here to my town, and I would love to walk with you, activate you. And I want you to know, a lot of people, they don't see miracles, and they think it has something to do with faith. You have enough faith. You just have to diminish your doubt. And you can do that by seeing a miracle right in front of your face. And you can go home and keep going. It's awesome.
It's awesome. It's just building the faith and seeing the stuff, seeing people walk this out. And that's what the disciples had to do with Jesus. They saw miracle after miracle after miracle. Then they saw Jesus walking on water. It was like, wow, you know. And then, you know, feeding the 10,000 with, you know, two fish and a piece of bread. And they're like, wow, it just blowed open their faith. And it's just awesome to see what God does. But, Shane, it's been awesome to have you on here today.
Thank you, Stan.
And we're going to be back doing some more shows. And I do have Dustin Tyler coming on Friday. And he's been doing street ministry for years. And really got feel for the Holy Spirit and learned how, you know, what the Bible really is by walking this out. And had the Holy Spirit taught him so many different things, you know, personally. And this guy is very unique because he really had no teacher. He only had the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit taught him everything that he knows about walking with God and the Word of God. So it's very unique, and he saw a lot of miracles coming in his ministry, and he's never been a guy that's had a big ministry. He's always been his own little thing that he does, and you'll catch him on YouTube and many different other things. So it's going to be awesome to have him on here Friday talking about how God's moving through him. But I'd like to thank Shane again for coming on here. Thank you, Shane.
Anytime. Thank you.
And we'll see you. We'll see all of y'all. We ain't going to see you. You're going to listen to us. We'll talk to everybody again Friday night at 9:30. And we'll have Dustin Tyler. God bless you, and we'll see y'all soon.
Break of day, you stole my heart away. Now I belong to you forever. You danced and shouted over me. You love the raging sea.